You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Monday afternoon in East Tennessee. Happy tax day.
I wonder how many people you just reminded that it's tax day. Bear raised his hand. There it is.
I hadn't forgotten about it.
Servicing the people.
I got to write a big check tonight.
Ooh.
Not feeling good.
Well, I hope the rest of you were handled gently by the federal government this year.
I got a thorough rogering.
Big week coming up. We've got a big baseball series for the Vols on the road. And we've got the Fan Run Open on Saturday, the inaugural Fan Run Open over at Williams Creek Golf Course.
I may or may not have squeezed in 9 holes yesterday in preparation for the big event.
Oh, yeah?
I don't like the smug look that you and Tucker have been directing towards everyone else.
You're not even playing. What are you talking about?
I'm still the ring. I still take offense for everybody else.
Bear, we are the Fan Run team. We represent the Fan Run team.
Yeah, we literally represent you.
We're going against Jake. Who are you going to root for?
Oh, you, absolutely.
Thank 100%. You. Just making sure.
I mean, it's not even a contest there. Who else on his team?
Aaron Medley.
Yeah, he does have Aaron Medley. He's playing with the Kick City crew.
Really?
Yeah.
Apparently Medley's
he's not even playing
good.
With, I mean, think about that. He's not even representing Fan Run in the tournament. He's playing for another team.
He went and got Medley? Was he? Truly, they didn't bring Miller in as a ringer, did they?
No, I think Medley's the ringer. There is
real quickly, I want to know. Bear, do you know who Aaron Medley is?
I have no idea. I should know him. His name sounds incredibly familiar. I know he's got something to do with sports.
Does it qualify, you know, having special teams aces
the kicker.
As golf?
Yes. Our
is
kicker.
Is that a ringer?
Yeah. I don't know. Some similarities there.
You should have an entire team made up of kickers. Kickers and punters. I think that would be good.
Just get the Colquitts in.
Yeah. I bet they play a lot of golf, but they're really good.
Probably.
All right, we do just a few more spaces remaining. The weather looks like it's going to be great. How do folks sign up for the inaugural Fan Run Open to benefit 3 wonderful charities?
FanRunRadio.com/shop. And then there's all your options right there. Whole sponsorship, individual players, team. You can buy a team. Or I guess you can sponsor a team or register as a team. But yes, going to charity. All for a good cause. Of course, here at Fan Run Radio.
What are the charities?
They are Care Cuts, the Boys and Girls Club of East Tennessee, and the Emerald Youth Foundation. Not the Emerald Club, as some people have said. It is the Emerald Youth Foundation.
It's a different kind of charity.
That's a very different.
We do support single moms here at Fan Run Radio.
That is different, yes.
Phil usually chairs that committee.
But yeah, there's going to be a few competitions, a putting competition, closest to the pin. There's going to be some raffles. I think Ryan was talking about like a couple of 50-something inch TVs raffled off and stuff. Oh, yeah. We spared no expense.
Going to be a big deal, man.
It's a big deal.
Want to see you out there. Support us. Support local charities. Should be a great time on Saturday. And it's the first time, you know, no orange and white game, no UT basketball. I haven't checked the start time on baseball, but we're planning on this being wrapped up by noonish, right? By lunch time?
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
So you have plenty of time to get back and watch Tennessee baseball at Kentucky this weekend. So this you can build your Saturday morning around it, man. And we hope to see you out there at the Williams Creek Golf Course for the first inaugural, the only inaugural, Fan Run Open. I know what I'm talking about, Tucker. I don't need college boy over there to start. Well, actually, blah, 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 blah.
I didn't do that.
I could see
you there.
I could sense it coming from across the room.
Just like he knew I didn't had no clue who Aaron Medley was.
That long ago.
Yeah, no, that was like
think about who's two
kickers ago.
It's two kickers.
All right, so a lot going on this week. First of all, let's wrap up the weekend. What a weekend it was in Big Orange Country. I ended up going not to one, but two Tennessee baseball games. I was over there three separate times in less than 24 hours. I went to the game with Bear. Bear did go to the game Friday night.
It was outstanding.
He froze his ass off.
It's all right.
Everyone did.
It was
all the
worth
people
it.
I was talking to said, "What? This was a big mistake."
Right as we sat down and kind of settled in our seats, you know how you do, and you lean back. Billy Batts digs in at home plate and then just he Chernobyl'd that ball.
Launched one. I end up going to the Orange and White game on Saturday. I'll tell you a little bit more about my experience there as we go along. Mm-hmm. And then on a whim, I was like, you know what? I want to go back over to the game. We got some of the standing room only tickets. Me and my brother went over there, and I stood in front of Tucker Harlan, blocked his view for most of the time.
I saw the photo evidence of that. Well done. He's out there trying to work.
It's fine.
It is pretty cool. Like, the standing room only tickets are sneaky cool because you can go anywhere. They don't have anybody saying it's not like you have to stand over here or anything. I mean, you can get right behind home plate. You can – we walked up into the new section where the four top tables are. There's mm-hmm. a rail you can stand along there. Sat out there with Rick Butler for a long time. Watched a couple of innings out there. And then we were getting no hit. So I told Tucker, I said, when we walked up there, what, in the sixth inning?
Sixth, yeah.
I said, we've come to break up the no-hitter. And what happened?
You broke it.
Broke it up, baby.
Oh, I got a text.
I get many texts.
No, I got a text that said specifically, Russell's just walked up and it broke the no-no, or it broke the no-hitter.
Got to switch up the mojo. Porches weren't working, or the side porch wasn't working. We had to get up there with the beautiful people behind home plate. So that worked up. But, yeah, then I mowed the entire yard yesterday, and you don't care about that, but pretty exhausted. Pretty exhausted. Slept like a baby last night. Watched the Masters a little bit.
Well, Scheffler just ran away with that, didn't he?
He's so good.
He's put the hammer down.
He played such a smart four rounds. Just make birdies when you can. Don't have the blow-up holes and let other people make mistakes, and that's exactly what they did. I mean, DeChambeau melted. And then yesterday you have Morikawa make some mistakes, Homa made some mistakes, and he's just steady
then
Eddie.
Guys start pressing. They talked about it during the broadcast about how cautious Tiger and Jack were always were.
Yeah.
The conservative. Yeah. I'll tell you who else was impressive. Is it Oberg?
Yes, Oberg.
Ludwig Oberg.
Oberg. Not Auberg.
It's pronounced Oberg?
Yeah. Oberg. I know it's an A with a little thing over the top of it.
The Preds had a player named Pontus Auberg from Sweden not long ago.
Oh, I'd never heard of this guy. Apparently, he's been tearing it up in his first year as a pro.
Was it Ludwig?
Ludwig.
Yep. Apparently, yeah, they say he's going to be like the real deal.
I mean, it was his first major championship, and he was right there like he belonged.
He stopped at Taco Bell on the way to the course yesterday.
There you go.
Every time they showed him, he was eating a sandwich or a snack.
Yeah, we do not have the Taco Bell in Sweden, yeah.
There was a story I watched over the weekend. Apparently, when he was just getting into golf, his dad was like, "Hey, you got some potential here." But he was kind of like, "I don't know, Dad, golf." And so every time he would agree to go play golf with his dad would get him ice cream afterwards. He said, "At first, I didn't really like the game, but I love ice cream." And now he's making millions of dollars swinging a club. Not a bad gig if you can get it.
Maybe I can use the ice cream method to turn my son into a world-class golfer.
It's worth a shot.
Some really cool stories. Did you hear the one about Tommy Fleetwood and his caddy?
No.
It's not the guy that's normally on. That's not his caddy. Mm. Something was wrong. It has been wrong with his caddy, and he physically couldn't do it. So he picked up just one of the Augusta caddies to carry his bag.
Huh. Which he knows the course.
Which I didn't realize that up until like 83, you couldn't use your regular. You had
right,
to use
yeah.
one of theirs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's the best finish he's ever had, and that guy just – a club caddy, if he holds it, and he ought to because it's his first top 10 finish at Augusta, that guy made like $80,000 for the weekend.
Not bad.
Get 10%.
Scottie Scheffler, 27 years of age, on a tear right now, and people wondering, is he the next great American golfer, and can he win multiple majors this year? That's only his second major championship now. He's won the Masters twice.
Yes.
Can he jumpstart that? You know, there's been a bunch of these guys through the years. We thought Rory was going to be that guy. We thought Spieth was going to be that guy. Dustin Johnson. I guess those guys have won a couple of majors, but we all thought at one point, oh, yeah, these guys are going to be, you know, in the double digits, the next Tiger, whatever, and hasn't happened yet. Is Scottie Scheffler the guy? I guess time will tell. So, it's a big weekend. We got to find a way to start talking football. You know, we were in that poll last week. What are you most into right now? And football was kind of well, football won.
But it's kind of hard to cover, Russ.
It's really hard to cover. But we should. We have to. First of all, it's what the people want to hear about. And second of all, this is going to be a pretty awesome season. I think once we get past basketball and really into the off-season mode, I think some of the hype is going to start to take on another level.
I would agree with that. I mean, you went.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, first of all, I had our fan, big friend, great friend of the show, Big Daddy Vol, Brian, and his lovely wife, Garner, invited me to go, and we're going to go sit on the East Club seats. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, I've never been down there. Like, that'll be pretty cool in and of itself. We had the big cushy chair and everything, get to go in the club area. Little did I know, he was actually in the first row of the stadium. Like, there's a row in front of the first row. So I'm sitting at a table kind of like this, and there's the
chairs
field.
Like this, right? I saw a picture.
Yeah, kind of, and chairs like this, and we're sitting there. So, like, it's cool. It is a different experience down there. A little bit hard to see some of the action. A lot of time watching the Jumbotron, you're almost too low. But I mean, like, Khalil McKenzie walked up at one point. Trey Smith walked up at one point. Who's who, just people parading by. Saw Steve Hamer multiple times over the weekend. Got to talk to him some. Saw Justin Gainey, chatted him up a little bit. He's busy recruiting. It was a super, super cool experience. So, big thanks to Brian, Big Daddy Vol, for taking me in there. And then, like, I've always, like, I don't say ripped on the West Club people, but just kind of lamented that it seems like whenever they show the sideline shot, those mm-hmm. seats are half mm-hmm. empty a lot. Mm-hmm. I kind of get it after going in the club area. I got to see.
Bougie Russ.
I see what the big deal is back there, man. They've got bars in there. They've got nice, clean bathrooms that there's never a line
for. I think you should be required to have a seat filler while you're gone.
They've got kiosks where you walk up and you just type in what you want, and then it prints out your ticket and you go across there. They got your, like, I had a Philly cheesesteak sandwich down there and a drink.
How was it?
It was good. A little pricey, but it was good.
Yeah, it is a little pricey.
But when your ticket is free, courtesy of Big Daddy Vol, you're willing to spend $16 on a Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Honestly, it's really not much more expensive than going out.
I was going to say anything right now.
I was thinking back last – me and him got – I got both of us lunch. It was like $30 for both of us. It's ridiculous.
No, it was super cool. Obviously, Nico is not live, and if anybody gets within 5 feet of him
– whistles.
Sirens go off. It's like, stay away, stay away. Do not touch. No Cooper – no Sprags, no Brew, no Squirrel, no Sampson. So,
what about?
It's not like we saw the show mm-hmm. out there.
But you did get to see Mike Matthews look good.
Mike Matthews flashed. I'll tell you, I've got a list. I thought Gaston Moore looked good. I don't want to see him.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him in a game that matters with it for meaningful snaps, but. He looked I don't say better than Nico, but he just looked in command. He looked like a guy that's been in the system for four seasons, which I guess he, you know, won at UCF. Was it just 1 year at UCF? This is his fifth year. So maybe 2 years at UCF and then 3 years here. I think they convinced him to come back for a fifth year. But he looked like a guy who just knows what he's doing, knows where the ball's been, and showed some arm strength, chucked it up there pretty good.
Well, let me ask you this. There was a question that came up on the morning show, I think this morning. What do you think our record would have been if he had started last year?
The whole season?
Yeah.
That's so hard to answer. I don't know, because we've never really – that the Orange and White game Saturday is the most we've ever seen him.
Right.
And that's not a good judge of how good a really quarterback is. So yeah. I just don't know. I know this is an easy opportunity to rip on Joe and all that, but I'm not taking your low hanging fruit, Bear.
I was just merely repeating a question I heard on a, you know.
I'm not taking their low hanging fruit. Bunch of talk radio shock jocks in the morning. That's not the way we do things here.
It's John and Bob. Sam.
Coming up, we're going to visit with Joe Simpson.
You only have three letters in your name to be on that show.
John, Bob, and Sam.
That is kind of interesting. Joe Simpson, Braves Radio, coming up next. We've got Braves coming up tonight a little bit later, 8 o'clock first pitch as they are in Houston for a three-game series here on your home for the Braves in Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. We'll talk to Joe, and we'll talk about Tennessee's sweep. Tony V and the boys breaking out the broomsticks against the defending national champions this week at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. We'll go inside the numbers. Stay with us. A lot to get to. It is The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Tucker back with you. Houston Crest, the Ball Rumor Mill is here this afternoon, and we're talking a little baseball with Joe Simpson from the Braves Radio Network. You can hear the Braves tonight here on Fan Run Radio in Houston, taking on the Astros, who have stumbled out of the gates a little bit. Good afternoon, Joe. How are you, sir?
I'm good, fellas. How's everything there?
Hey, it's going well, man. Just getting into baseball here. 14 games in. Bravos, 2 games up on the Phillies in the NL East, but some obvious question marks with the pitching staff. I'm just wondering how you would assess the first 2.5 weeks or so of the season.
Yeah, it is concerning, no doubt about it, especially when you lose your number one guy, Spencer Strider. But there are some veterans in place. It's not like the team's got to try to nitpick over some young guys and see who can handle the pressure. I mean, with Freed, Sale, Morton, Lopez, those guys are all tested veterans. They can all step up, and I know they will. The question is, where's the number five guy come from? And tonight it's Darius Vines who gets a shot. And as Alex Anthopoulos said earlier in the week, maybe a couple of weeks ago, he said it's a matter of who gets hot, who can come in and take the reins and decide that they want this position, this spot in the rotation. Much like Bryce Elder did last year. So you can call it whatever you like. You can call it a tryout camp if you want for that fifth spot, but we've got a lot of talent ready and waiting to do that. Let's see if it's Vines who takes the bit tonight.
Yeah, we had some non-Braves fans trying to give us a little trash talk last week, and I told them, you know, look, Braves won the World Series without Ronald Acuna 2 years ago. They can win one without Spencer Strider, but it is interesting, Joe, that there's not, you know, Bryce Elder has not been called up yet. You mentioned Darius Vines, and it doesn't seem like there is just an obvious, oh, yeah, we just plug this guy in. It almost feels like open tryouts.
There is an element of that. These guys are familiar. The team is familiar with them. They got some starts last year. Winans did not fare so well the other day in his opportunity. Vines, as he said, gets one tonight, and he pitched some last year. So did A.J. Smith-Schuster, who will see him at some point as well. Hurston Waldrop is also at AA. He looked good in spring training. He is a possibility, along with Bryce Elder, of course. So so it's not like the cupboard's bare. And the people who are doing the trash talking, I can understand a little bit, because when you lose a 20-game winner and a guy who led baseball in strikeouts, that's a huge loss to overcome and to cover up. But we're still pretty good. And I go back to 21 when we won the World Championship, and Dylan Lee started one of the games in the World Series. His first career start was in the World Series. So there's some depth there, and we'll be all right.
Talking with Joe Simpson of the Braves Radio Network this afternoon on the program. And, Joe, staying on Strider for just a second, that has been a big topic of conversation in the game at all levels right now. We follow college baseball closely here in Knoxville, and Tennessee's best pitcher, A.J. Russell, has, you know, he's dealing with some forearm soreness that is really a problem for Tennessee right now. But is this rash of pitcher injuries, is there anything in your mind that can be done to slow the trend, or is this just how it is now in the day and age of everybody's throwing hard with the big spin rates and everything that comes with it?
Yeah, it's overdone, I think, guys. I think there's so much emphasis on that as opposed to just pitching that we're seeing the end result now. These driveline programs, I'm not saying that they're bad, but when young guys are going to the bullpen for side sessions with a pitch tracks to find out how hard did I throw that pitch, what was my spin rate, when they're more focused on that than they are command and movement and rest, it's not a good combination. I know that the guys, the big three for the Braves for years, Smoltz, Glab, and Maddox, they harped on some of the youth programs in and around Atlanta Metro about you got to have a rest. You can't pitch year round. You've got to give your arms some rest. And those guys, when the season ended, they didn't pick up a baseball till January, sometimes late January. So when guys are spending their off season trying to improve their velocity, that's all they care about. It's not a good thing health wise as we're seeing now.
Do you think there will be a movement towards that, to emphasizing pitcher arm health, or do you think that this particular toothpaste is out of the tube?
I hope it's the former. I hope what we're learning now is that the status quo is not good. There's a limit. I think Mother Nature is telling us there's a limit on what the arm can withstand. And while it's like going to a car race and hoping to see a wreck. It's like going to a boxing match wanting to see a knockout. Everybody wants to look at the radar gun and see how hard this guy's throwing at every ballpark. And it disgusts me sometimes when I see a young pitcher throw a pitch, and then the first thing he does when he gets the ball back from the catcher is look at the radar reading. I wonder how hard I threw that one. Well, maybe it was a ball. Maybe it weren't anywhere close to home plate. And you need to be throwing strikes or locating better. So we all like those heavyweight matches, and we always like those speeds and everything, but it's to the detriment right now, it seems like, of so many guys. And I hate to say it, but, you know, Spencer already had Tommy John surgery once, and here he was throwing 99, 100 miles an hour, and he paid the price too.
It almost feels like, Joe, that, you know, Tommy John surgery used to be, well, it wasn't a death sentence, but it was something you didn't want to have. And now we see, and Spencer Strider's a great example, Ben Joyce, who pitched here at Tennessee, is with the Angels now, and throwing 105 miles per hour in college 2 years ago. He had just come back from Tommy John. And there's almost a feeling that Tommy John, I don't want to say it's desirable, but it's like there's a good there could be a good outcome come from it. So, again, it's not really a deterrent from throwing hard.
You know, you're right. You're exactly right. It almost emboldens the guy to say, well, then I'm better than ever, and now I'll really be able to throw hard without fear of tearing my elbow up. Well, there's no guarantee that you're not going to do it again. Mm. I mean, Johnny Venters, who pitched for the Braves out of the bullpen, threw hard, had a great slider. I think he did it four times. Chris Medlin twice. Brandon Beachy twice. We've had guys had to go through it more than once, and now Spencer Strider's an example. It doesn't give you carte blanche to just do whatever you want.
talking with Joe Go ahead.
I'm just sorry about the cough. You've got to be smart about it, and you just can't pitch year round. You've got to rest. And I'm taking the word of three guys that are in the Hall of Fame. It's not me making my own decision on that. I'm just listening to those guys, and kind of go to spring training to build up, to get ready for the season. Not show up at spring training ready to throw 99.
Talk with Joe Simpson from the Braves Radio Network. Joe mentioned the Phillies earlier. Still very early, obviously, but you know the Braves dropped the series against the Mets last week. Other NL East teams struggling out of the gates, it would appear. Do you still view the Phillies as the Braves' top competition in the division, or do you think that the Mets are going to be in it for the long haul this season?
No, I think it's the Phillies. Phillies are too deep in their pitching, and even though Zach Wheeler's off to a rough start, he's 0-3, he'll get it turned around. They definitely have the second-best club in the division, in my opinion. The Mets are going to be better simply because they can't be worse than they were last year. And while they still have some injuries to deal with themselves, they're going to be better than they were. I'll tell you, the team that we just played, the Marlins, if they had all of their complement of pitchers healthy, they would be a force. They've got some great arms. We saw Max Meyer on Saturday, and he was tremendous. He's a young rookie. So the Marlins are going to be a team to deal with in the future, but maybe not right now.
Joe, last thing, we'll let you run. In Houston tonight, second series in a row in a stadium with a retractable roof. Just wondering what you think of these types of ballparks and if you enjoy watching and calling games from them.
I do. I do enjoy it. And I would tell you that as a former player, I would have preferred the roof to be closed in Miami for those two day games. I don't know how there were as many runs scored as there were. Players were talking about it after the game last night on their trip to Houston about how horrible it was to see in that stadium because of the shadows. So I don't know what the course of action will be here in Houston for these three games, but I'm hoping it'll be closed just so that everybody can see well, and quite frankly, so I can see where the ball is going. Because there were a couple of balls trying to call play-by-play. I didn't know where they were going. I had to watch the players and see where they were moving to see where the ball went. So sometimes it can be difficult when those retractable roof stadiums are open in the daytime. We'll see what happens tonight. And as you said, Houston's off to a slow start, but they're notorious for slow starts, and yet they're still a good ball club, and Braves will certainly have their hands full.
Would it be unprofessional of me to make a joke about how they need to get the trash can system going again in Houston or – whatever they had a couple of years ago?
You said that, not me.
Joe.
They're too good. They're not going to be where they are at the end of the season. Their lineup's too good, and they're dealing with some pitching injuries. Here we go again. We just keep cycling back to arm injuries, but the Astros have their share of them too.
Joe, always appreciate your time, my friend. Enjoy the week down in Houston, and we'll do it again soon.
Hey, guys, thanks. Take care.
Thank you. That's the great Joe Simpson of the Braves Radio Network. How cool is that? We get to talk to him here on The Drive.
He likes talking baseball. That's what he always tells me.
He does. And the conversation about the pitchers and the elbows and
rest and all that,
all this stuff, is so interesting. Yeah, and with Strider, he didn't have Tommy John. He had – I'd never heard of it. It's something about a brace procedure where they put, I guess, a brace in your elbow, but the projected recovery for that is 9 to 12 months, as opposed to Tommy John is like 16 months.
12 to 16, yeah. I don't know. I'd never heard that until he just said this about back in the day when Maddox and the Atlanta pitchers were hammering the local – baseball coaches about these kids got to rest.
Yeah, you got to shut it down some.
Yeah, I mean it's year round baseball. It's not healthy.
Well, and I heard Verlander was talking about this last week, and he said, look, I mean, this is one of the best pitchers of the last 20-30 years, and one of the hardest throwers the last 20-30 years, and he was saying, I didn't learn how to throw hard until I went to college. Like, there was no TrackMan spin rate, and we're in the bullpen and working on this stuff. It was just making pitches, control.
Throwing strikes.
Yeah, throwing strikes, trying to get guys out. And, you know, he learned that later on, but he was saying, I don't know that I would have had the career I had if I had learned how to, quote unquote, throw as hard as I can at the age of 12. Because maybe there are injuries and the career doesn't turn out the way it does.
Yeah, it's just wild. And the whole thing with specialization in sports, I'm a big proponent of cross-training is better for these kids as they come up. And you see it every year in the NFL draft. I mean, the guys that go in the first round were like multi-sport athletes in high school. Did watch a video this weekend and found out, you know, Peyton wasn't the number one quarterback coming out of Newman his senior year.
Did you care to guess? On that team?
No, number one quarterback in the nation.
No, I'm saying he wasn't the best quarterback at Isadore Newman on his team.
No,
or are you
no,
talking
no.
about in New Orleans?
No, I'm talking about in that recruiting class. I want to see if
it wasn't Brandon Stewart.
Nope. It may blow your mind.
Oh, is a baseball player?
Nope.
Iverson?
Yep. Allen Iverson was number one ranked.
Yeah. Well, he's just a run around guy.
I don't know, man. You've seen those videos.
Yeah, it's bizarre, man, because my son was he's in third grade now. So he was in second grade last year, and they had their first kid pitch. I guess it's 8 and under. It's the first they let kid pitch, which I thought was absurd because I remember coaches pitching to us while I was in middle school. I remember middle school coach pitch. Yeah, down at Sequoia and Rocky Hill.
It changed to that when I was a kid after T-ball.
Which, I mean, like, I feel like it, and it was awful that last season because no kids can pitch at 8. We had on our team, there was, you know, I think a dozen kids or something, and there was one kid who was really good. And so, like, you could only pitch so many innings
a
week, but who's really keeping track at 8 under? Mm-hmm. And so if the one kid couldn't pitch, and he would struggle to throw strikes, like, it's just a walk-a-thon. Nobody's swinging. Everybody's just trying to get on base. It's boring. It's not good for the kids. Nobody gets to hit. And I'm just sitting here, like, I feel like I'm crazy. Am I the only one who sees what a stupid waste of time this is?
No, I don't think you're crazy at all.
And – I mean, there should be programs at that age for kids to learn how to pitch and how to throw strikes and off a mound and all that stuff. But to me, what is the point of what is middle school age, 11 or 12? Like, what is the point of kids pitching in games before middle school? And you could probably even make the argument before high school.
Well, it's insane how much some of those kids in high school, how much they pitch, especially – not specifically with their high school team, but all these travel teams. How many pitches, how many innings.
Well, I hope Strider is able to come back. It is interesting that he did not have Tommy John surgery, so hopefully he'll be ready to go for next season, but the Braves have already ruled him out for this season. We will talk about Tony Vitello's baseball team breaking out the broomsticks with a big weekend sweep of the defending national champions from LSU when we continue. Plus, we are going to get into what we saw from the orange and white game and if there are any lessons to be learned as far as projecting what we are going to see in the upcoming season. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Back here on the Drive Fan Run Radio, cruising through a Monday afternoon edition of the show. I'm Russell Smith alongside Tucker and Houston. Bear had to step out if you detect a sudden dearth of hot air in the new White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. That would be the reason. Oh, he's throwing heat out of the gate.
He waited until the man couldn't defend himself.
Yeah, it's my favorite part.
No, I appreciate it. That's a good move. Pro move right there, Tucker. Write that down.
So, We break things down this afternoon on the program as Tennessee broke down LSU. You know, our record against them in baseball last year notwithstanding, it's pretty good. We've kind of owned them.
What did I see? We are at home against them. We've won 8 in a row.
That would make sense because Tennessee won all 3 in the series in 2021.
Won 2 in the Supers, yep. And then,
you get 3 this year, so yeah.
They don't like coming here, Russ.
They don't. And I don't think they're very good.
No.
I have to say, after watching all 3 games and kind of looking at their – I mean, they're what, 3-12 now?
If the SEC tournament started today, LSU and Auburn would not be in it.
You guys were there. At one point during the game, they did the little break-in, talk to the coach interview. And
they looked miserable.
He had tried to lay down a bunt and steal a base, and they're like, "Coach, walk us through your thought process there." He's like, "I'm just trying to win a game. We're not doing that much." He looked very miserable.
Yeah.
Trying to coach this baseball team. Hate it for him. Yeah, really do.
They made their deal with the devil, man. I mean, they the 2 best players in college baseball last year. We made our run at Skeens. It occurred to me yesterday as I was mowing, I was lamenting the thought that if we had gotten Skeens, that probably would have been us winning a national championship last year. So, I mean, you talk to LSU fans, they would probably make that trade 10 times. Hey, you win a national championship, you're kind of going to suck the next year. They're not going to suck. They'll probably bounce back next season. But for right now, I don't think they're very good. The question is, how good are we?
I think we're pretty good.
Up to number 4 in the polls.
I saw us. I don't remember what the poll was. Had us at 2.
D1 baseball is the one
I agree.
We're number 4 there. And the top 4 teams are all SEC teams. A&M has jumped Arkansas. A&M's number 1. Arkansas, number 2. Kentucky, our opponent this week, is number 3. And Tennessee's number 4. So, you know, Kentucky has not won a series against an SEC team that has an above 500 record. They haven't played anybody because they've won all their series, but neither have we.
Yeah.
We have not won a series against a team with a above 500 record in conference play.
So what you're telling me is this weekend something has to give?
I think we'll find out a lot, and we'll find out how for real Kentucky is and if we can take our show on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Tony getting creative over the weekend, starting Stamos on Friday night. Causey comes in with a really nice long relief appearance. You get Drew Beams, just gritty, man. Just gritty Saturday. Mm-hmm. Give up a bunch of hits.
Then don't break.
Yeah, it's a great way of putting it, yeah. And then Fireballer Sneed comes in to shut them down. You get a quality start from Xander Sechrist yesterday, kind of piece together the bullpen and get through it. And Tennessee gets the sweep. It's funny. It doesn't feel – I want to say we're as good as we are, but it doesn't feel like they're as dominant as that team 2 years ago.
Which is funny because statistically speaking, on offense, they're ahead of that team in a lot of categories. But I think we're all worried about the same thing. And that is the depth and quality of your pitching staff. We've seen it a couple times where one guy doesn't have it, and on a given night, like, that can be enough. If you don't get the hook early enough and you're down, was it the Auburn game? It was like we're 2 or 3 innings into the game. It's 8-5, eight to four maybe. And you just feel like, man, like, now you've put your offense where they're having to play with an edge and maybe with some pressure, and they're going to press a little bit. You're not seeing the ball as well, and I don't think we scored another run. Maybe one more.
I think it was, what, 9-5 in that game?
Yeah, it was. You're right. They got one more, and we got one more, and we just can't dig that hole.
We didn't blitz LSU in any of these 3 games.
No, so that was no.
It's kind of encouraging. You kind of have to grind it out a little bit. You know, the atmosphere Saturday was, you know, I mean, there was a charge before the game. We got there half an hour early. We're walking around. You know, it is jam-packed, biggest crowd in stadium history. And there's a buzz, a palpable feeling of anticipation of, oh, my God, this is going to be great. And then Luke Holman, who we recruited as well last year. I mean, how is it different if he's here in our Friday night starter? But he comes out and no-hits us for 5 innings. And so they're really – I mean, it was a good crowd. There was a buzz, and it was vibrant and a festive atmosphere, I would say. But there wasn't that classic Lindsey Nelson moment where the roof
is, right.
feels like the place is about to get blown apart. This week will be interesting. Kentucky plays a lot of small ball up there. I was looking at the stats. They lead in bunts and stolen bases.
That's that guy's. What's their coach's
Mangione,
name?
Nick Mangione.
That's his MO.
Yeah, they did that last year too.
Yeah,
I remember.
He loves, you know, piecing together runs kind of unconventionally, which, I mean, defensively you have to be ready for that. Yep. I mean, and it's not in your. I remember that last year. It's not in your stereotypical, oh, yeah, we're going to bunt here. We're going to send. Like, it is almost at random when he decides to kind of. So you got to be on your toes all the time against Kentucky.
Well, and you remember this series 2 years ago when we had that great team that we thought was our best ever. They went up there and Kentucky won the first two games.
Yep.
The weather was horrible.
Horrible.
Kentucky wins the first two games. Tennessee was able to gut one out late to avoid the sweep, but. It was not a good time up there.
No, it was not only was it rainy and windy, wasn't it also super cold when it shouldn't have been?
Yeah.
It was a little bit later in the season too. And you just got that Tennessee football at Kentucky Commonwealth weather. And I remember watching that game. It kind of reminded me, was it the Missouri series last year where it's 29 degrees?
Not that cold, but it was not that cold. Yucky. Yeah.
But you could tell the look on our guys' faces, it's almost like we'd rather be anywhere than here right now.
And I'm sure that's a message Tony will preach this week. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got to be ready for war. You think they'll let Mark Pope throw out the first pitch up there? Sweet.
I feel like you have to, don't you?
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to make it fun up there,
I don't know. We had Caldwell throw it out, so yeah, I bet they do.
I don't know how much those fans buy stock into baseball like they do basketball, but you know, if they're looking for a good matchup to come to, this is the one. This is probably the best matchup for both of these teams.
Well, along those lines, let's go to the phones and talk to TJ, the Kentucky fan, who's on the line. TJ, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Hey, I just got to say, you know, being a Braves fan growing up, you know, 80s, 90s, Pete Van Wieren, Skip Carey, how cool is that you get to interview Joe Simpson? That's awesome, man.
It is a kind of pinch yourself moment. It's pretty cool, not going to lie.
It really is, man. I'm proud of you. That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, going to the baseball, I'm looking forward to this series this weekend. You mentioned that Kentucky likes to play small ball. They can do it both ways. Against Auburn on Saturday, they were down 7-0, and they hit 5 home runs that game. I know Tennessee has 300 home runs this year, and they're nothing but power. I get it. But I think it's going to be a great matchup. The only thing that worries me is our pitching. We're not deep in pitching.
Nobody is.
Score some runs. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, Kentucky third in the league in ERA at 3.65. Tennessee is fourth at 3.76. That's pretty good. I mean, it's not dominant, but those are, for college baseball, those are pretty good ERAs to have coming into it. So I'm interested to see the matchups. I would anticipate for Tennessee fans, and kind of like this past weekend, where I don't know that anybody's going to get run ruled this weekend in Lexington, but it could be some interesting pitching matchups, and you'll be looking for those clutch hits.
Yeah, for sure. And that's another good point that Kentucky's good at. We may not have power, but you know, we can bunt for a hit, get another single, and all of a sudden you got bases loaded with, you know, 0-1-2 outs and a base hit, you get 2 runs. They're fast. They make great contact. Like I said, not a powerful team, but it's going to be awesome. You bring up LSU Friday. Me and my wife went to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers game against the Charleston River Dogs. We got to watch Trey Morgan. Not sure if you remember him from LSU last year. That guy, he's going to be in the pros within the next 2 years. I think he went 4-for-5 with like 4 RBIs and 3 runs scored. He's just so solid, man. It's so fundamentally fun to watch. He is just I know he went to LSU. Let's thank him for that, but he is just a great baseball player.
No, he's a talent for sure. What organization is Fayetteville farm team for?
Single A.
But what?
For Astros.
So he's going up to the Astros eventually.
Yep. So, and just to let you know, last year I threw out the first pitch for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers.
Really?
100%. wore my Braves jersey and my Braves hat, just to let you know.
Well, at least you didn't have any Kentucky stuff on. That's good.
Hey, good luck this weekend, guys. Y'all have a good week.
Thank you, TJ. Nothing about – wait, is he still there?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing about Mark Pope. I mean, you guys are – you got to hang the banner. You won the press conference, and world championship yesterday, TJ.
Hey, look, some of y'all might make fun of me, but let's just go back for a minute. Let's say T. Martin walks through Neyland Stadium with that crystal ball from 1998 and gives you a speech that you will remember forever. Man, look, it was fun with Calipari. It was fun being the NBA conveyor belt. But it's time to get back to Kentucky basketball. It's time to get back to playing the zones and, you know, playing the dirty ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was fun while it lasted, but come on, it can't be worse than the last 5 years. And here's the thing, too. I know, oh, it's funny, Mark Pope, ha, ha, ha. Mark Pope is motivated. And I would rather have a motivated Mark Pope, who's unproven, than a relaxed, oh, I do this every year, John Calipari, who gets sent home so he can go walk his dogs.
All right. TJ, we'll see how it all pans out for you, man. Thanks for the phone call. You know, it's interesting watching Kentucky fans celebrate. They fill the arena yesterday for
were
that.
Did I read they were turning people away?
I don't know about that. That would make sense, though.
It looked like it was full to Rupp's rafters.
They kept panning, and I kept waiting for, like, okay, where's the empty section? It didn't look empty. It was – I mean, I know they said it was a sellout. It really might have been. Or capacity crowd, however you want to phrase it.
They will have to first of all, it's just sad to hear, you know, Kentucky. Well, first of all, it can get worse. You do remember Clyde Gillespie. Like, it can't – you were in the tournament.
At you when he said that. I was like, oh, it can get worse. It absolutely can.
But, like, it's just – it's kind of sad. I'm not ripping – it's not trash talk. This is Kentucky basketball. Oh, at least our coach is motivated now. What? Motivated? Like, this is the baseline? Our coach actually wants to coach and is doing his thing? That's not – a good sign, I would say.
See, the one thing I disagree with TJ with is Tennessee would not hire T. Martin to be its next head coach.
Well, no.
In any universe.
There was a movement among former players.
I remember that.
To do that. And it was actually kind of a whole thing behind closed doors. Got kind of ugly. But he is right. If for some reason we had done that, they had hired T. Martin and all the players, like, let's get behind him. We would have rallied.
Sure.
It probably would not have worked.
Yeah.
I mean, T. Martin has no head coaching experience. Mark Pope has been a head coach for, what, 8, 9 years?
Yeah, there's a lot of marked differences here. I mean, and I understand it. You know, local guy, won you a championship. But this does feel very different with Pope and Kentucky. He's at least had experience in the big chair.
That was, I remember, it wasn't a huge conversation. There wasn't, not everybody was on board, but it was bandied about. And I remember thinking, you know what, it is not the worst idea in the world. Not a good idea, but it's not the worst idea in the world. The theory was you elevate T to head coach, we run Skolcan out of here, you keep Ainsley to run the defense, mm-hmm. the same system, terminology, defense wasn't bad, that kind of thing. He bring, whether it's Cheney or whoever else,
right.
And he's kind of the figurehead recruiter or whatever. Like, I remember thinking, keep in mind, this is 2020. We are at an all-time low. We are knocked out, bruised, battered in the corner, just looking for anything to grab onto. It seems ridiculous now, but that was a conversation that was being had.
Yep.
Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive begins with Tucker Harlan's Top 4 at 4. Then more of your phone calls when we continue here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Fan Run Radio is proud to present the 37 Club.